you're in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. On the live stream, you can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, YouTube page, as well as the ESPN app. And if you're listening on the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. And with that, we say hello. Field of Matthew hanging out with you today on Wednesday, August 4th. I should know that better. This is your chance to make fun of me.
What if you're just... I have a question for you. So I know what it is for the audio feed, and I know what it is if you're watching the live stream.
Right.
But what if you're like on Spotify and you're just like sort of scrolling past us, like to the, like the Schefter podcast or the Barnwell podcast?
Right.
Like what?
So that would be we should do that. Feed.
Well, no. That's the audio feed is when you're actually listening to us. But I'm just saying, like, we need a presenting sponsor for when you blow by us,
the passerby.
Like, and just like when you're scrolling past us, when you're like. Not them. Where's Mina Kimes? Like, you know, like one of those kind of things. Like,
right,
we should have a
that.
Presenting. Can we get a presenting sponsor for the ignoring us? You know,
you
and if you're ignoring us for the Barnwell show or the Mina Kimes show or the Adam Schefter show, if you're ignoring us, that is presented by Your Name Here sponsors. Yeah. I'm just saying it's out there. Ad sales.
I was quite a sales pitch to whoever it is that brand that steps in for us. So like. We can work on this. There's some potential. I'm just saying there's got to be the idea.
I'm sure we have some ad metrics on the number of people that like kind of, you know, scroll by us.
Looking for
you know, talented people.
Right. My favorite part is more so the idea that Field never forgets anything. And 2 days into the season, he's like, it's August. What?
My best friend's birthday, too. This is bad. I'm sorry, Russ. I still love you, buddy. You're getting
wait
older.
Wait a second. My birthday is November 17th. What do you mean it's your best friend's birthday? My birthday is not for a couple of months, man.
No. Sorry. My other best friend. My Massachusetts best friend.
Thank you. All right.
We got a busy show today. We're going to start Double Trouble, which, for those that are new to the show this year that may have stumbled upon us accidentally while listening for the Mina Kimes or the Bill Barnwell show, we do Double Trouble throughout training camp. What it is two teams per day. We overview them in some depth while also accounting for what's happened in previous seasons, what could happen this upcoming season, plus some news. And that's where we start today, Matthew, is we will do the Double Trouble first two teams, Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens in just a bit. But we begin.
I know.
We don't often talk about guards on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Maybe the Fantasy Focus Basketball Podcast, which could come out in future seasons. But guard play is not frequently discussed on this show. But you don't have too many guards like Quentin Nelson. I am not the authority on offensive line play. I'm no Brandon Thorne. But I do believe Quentin Nelson is the best guard in the NFL. And Quentin Nelson is going to be out for 5 to 12 weeks. This is just ridiculous. Yeah. He and Carson Wentz, within a span of 24 hours, found out that they have the same injury that requires the same surgery, which is like a fairly uncommon surgery to have for an NFL player. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's been a tough start to camp for the Colts, but Nelson's out for 5 to 12 weeks. And so, again, normally we'd say, hey, you know, it's a guard. Like, I'm not sure how much fantasy impact it has, but
I think it does.
Into it. Maybe it does.
I think it does. More. Listen, to your point about Quentin Nelson being the best guard in the NFL, it's the old Bum Phillips quote. Do you remember this? Like, I don't know if he's in a class by himself, but it sure don't take long to call the roll. That was Bum Phillips, quote about Earl Campbell.
Yeah.
But it's always one of my favorite quotes. So he's right up there. And are you talking about this stat that Thirsty Kyle pulled?
Because
it's a really great stat. Now, it's small sample size.
It's a couple caveats.
Couple caveats. Small sample size, but still.
How about this?
Go for it. You want to do it?
No,
go ahead.
Okay, fine. Well, we can.
Yeah.
How about this?
You guys want me to do it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'll do it, guys. Guys, I'll do
it. Jonathan Taylor, last year, here were the number of rushes he had going to the left side, 69. The number of
Which
carries
is where Quentin Nelson played.
Yep, left guard.
Nice.
Number of carries going to the right side, 61. On 69 carries to the left side, Jonathan Taylor had 385 yards, good for 4.1 yards per carry before contact. That was fourth best in the NFL.
Right.
Going to the right, 61 carries for 263 yards with just 2.1 yards per carry before contact. That was 37th amongst running backs.
Right.
That might be relevant in the conversation surrounding Jonathan Taylor.
I'm just saying that running behind Quentin Nelson, again, small sample size last year, you know, one big run can skew it and everything like that. But running behind Quentin Nelson last year, he was really good.
Yes.
Running on the other side of the line, not as good.
Yeah.
Significantly worse. And I thought this was interesting as well. Almost every sports book out there pulled Jonathan Taylor rushing props.
Really?
This morning, yeah.
Oh, wow, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what the number was prior to
this. But I'm just saying,
this.
Like, that should tell you something as well, right?
Yeah, whether they're concerned that this could be more 12 weeks. Now, Nelson's incredibly tough. He's already taken to Instagram and noted, like, you know, I'm do my best to get out there in 5 weeks and not 12
sure,
weeks.
Of course.
His third surgery of the offseason. He's one tough hombre. There's no two ways about that, but it seems relevant. But how relevant? How does it impact draft strategy, Matthew? So neither you or I talked about Jonathan Taylor when we were discussing the top nine running backs on the show the past couple of days. Jonathan Taylor was not a name that came up. So neither you or I was advocating for Jonathan Taylor as a mid-first-round pick, late-first-round pick, which is where some people were advocating for him to go. And ADP-wise, he's currently 10th overall, the last pick of the first round in the 10-team league. How far does this depress the value of Jonathan Taylor, if at all?
It doesn't for me, but I already had him slightly lower. Like when Carson Wentz injury happened, I moved him a little bit lower. I moved him a couple spots lower. So the guys that, if you're watching on the live stream, you just saw that his current ADP on ESPN, he's going ahead of Eckler, Chubb, Aaron Jones.
Right.
And I have him behind all those guys. I think all those guys are safer.
It seems like it, and I know.
I mean, there's concern about the offensive line. Yep. There is concern about the offense in general. Like, I mean, listen, we're all rooting for Jacob Eason, but we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't know, you know, what that offense is going to look like. And there's also I don't know that there's massive workload concern.
No concern.
But other than Marlon Mack is back, and so Jonathan Taylor got tremendous workload last year. Does he get five less carries a game? I mean, again, it's all small stuff. So, I mean, listen, I think I have him at 12 right now. I think I'm at running back. I take it back. I think I'm at running back 11 because I have Najee Harris ahead of him. And I know we're going to get to him as well. So I have him like as a top 12 fantasy running back this year. He's still an unbelievable talent.
Right.
It's still a good offensive line outside of Quentin Nelson. He's still going to get a ton of work. But do we think the Colts offense takes a hit without Carson Wentz? We do. Do we think the Colts offensive line and offense as a whole takes a hit without Quentin Nelson? We do. And so, yeah, when you're at the top levels, you've got to nitpick a little bit.
Right.
And I'm nitpicking. So, yes, to me, this affects Jonathan Taylor's fantasy value.
Yeah, I always think about the first few rounds in fantasy as you're looking for tiebreakers.
Right.
And I think this is something that can be a tiebreaker if you're evaluating Jonathan Taylor vis-a-vis someone like, as you mentioned, Najee Harris, potentially it's Austin Eckler, or Nick Chubb, or Aaron Jones, or any of the running backs that are somewhere between, let's call it 7 and 14 on the running back board. So not totally pessimistic about Jonathan Taylor's outlook. He's outstanding. He's going to get a lot of volume. He finished his RB4 in fantasy last year. But the case for him as being the player that leaps into that first tier of running backs has taken a hit in recent days.
Is this, and tell me if you think I'm insane with this.
Okay.
But because it's obviously a very different offense and different situation. But think about last year. With the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott gets hurt, and it didn't get nearly as much publicity, but their offensive line was decimated last year as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then you saw what happened to Ezekiel Elliott, who prior to last year had been as close to money in the bank in fantasy football as there was in terms of his usage, in terms of his fantasy production. And so my point is that we saw last year where a star running back lost his starting quarterback and had tremendous injuries on the offensive line, and then all of a sudden, his fantasy value plummeted. Right. Is there a situation here where, same thing, Jonathan Taylor just lost his his starting quarterback, he lost Quentin Nelson, and oh, by the way, Eric Fisher is also banged up.
Right. Eric Fisher, their left tackle, is coming off of a torn Achilles suffered in January. He's still on PUP, so it seems unlikely he'll be ready to start this season.
Right.
At some point. I will say this. Daniel, what do you got?
I know we need to wrap this up in order to move to the next conversation, but I did want to ask you guys, the idea of a 5 to 12 week injury timeline is like, how are you supposed to be able to plan? That's such a massive gap of time.
And that's by design, by the way, by the Colts, right? Is that, like, you know, best case scenario is 5, but you don't want to put pressure on these athletes.
So as a fantasy drafter, how, like, for you or for Matthew, like, how are you thinking, all right, I'm just going to assume 7 weeks. I'm going to take somewhere in the middle. Are you going to take the short end? Are you going to take the long end?
I think it's, in the case of Carson Wentz, perhaps later than sooner. In the case of Quentin Nelson, perhaps sooner than later.
And later. Yeah.
Last thing I'll say, though, so I don't want to make this into a pity party, because there's also a chance, by the way, that Quentin Nelson's 5 weeks, and that by October, Eric Fisher is playing. And once again, by, let's say, you know, beginning of October, it's like, wow, dominant offensive line, plenty of volume. So
by the way, there's a chance Jacob Eason's good. Like, we have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, but I think those are other things. There's a smaller chance that Jacob Eason's a stud than there is that the Colts offensive line looks great.
Yes, of course.
By October, right?
I'm just saying there's a non-zero chance that Eason isn't terrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or that he's competent. That he's at least Carson Wentz. Who, by the way, like, I mean, last year Carson Wentz wasn't all that, right?
That's just a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. All I'm saying is like, you know, we have literally no footage in an NFL game of Jacob Eason. We've got no idea.
You know what? If nothing else, though, I believe this is the most we've ever talked about a guard on the Fantasy Focus, at least since I've been around.
Yeah.
Quentin Nelson, I don't know what category you will be nominated for at the end of the year in our show, but you're winning whatever it is that you are nominated for. All right.
Also the most time we've ever talked about Jacob Eason, too. in fairness.
Jacob Eason on the rise.
Yeah.
All right. Time now for Double Trouble.
Oh, shoot.
We don't have it?
Double trouble. You're on double secret probation.
Can we take... Hey, Field, I got to talk to you
for a
second.
The thing Hang doesn't on. Work. You Hang knew on. This.
Hey!
Delayed gratification.
Can I ask you a question? And I have a question for you.
I basically did it. My boss is sitting right behind me.
The pressure is high.
Exactly.
Dale's in his private workout right now.
The wise and sage like Pete G is observing this. Probably sending notes like, I thought we'd cancel this a long time ago. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So the first show.
Yeah. Do you think Pete G stumbled upon us like he was one of those Spotify listeners? Like, was he like, I can't wait to watch Barnwell in this element this morning?
Oh,
showed up
percent.
And he's like, oh, Yates and Barry again. Yeah. Jeez.
Who scheduled? I got to yell at my assistant.
Facilities! You sent me the wrong schedule.
You got me the wrong schedule. Listen. So, basically, for the first day of the show, you had to hit record.
Yeah.
And then you didn't.
Yeah.
Right? And so we lost all the audio. And so, the magical lost episode that everyone's talking about.
It wasn't quite that simple. It wasn't my fault, but that is in theory, that's what happened. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're the producer of the show, right? Everything falls under you.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
everything falls under me. That's fair.
The buck stops with you. So, just ultimately,
I guess it was my fault then. Yeah.
Your job is to publish the show, right?
Yes.
Okay, and did you publish the show on Monday?
I did not, nope.
Okay, so then it's kind of your fault.
A little bit.
Kind of your fault. All right, and then we're starting Double Trouble. All you got to do, you know what I need to do? I need to make sure because Kyle does the note. So it's literally just a matter of I got to make sure I've got the sounder. You had 24 hours to get the sounder.
I had 72 hours to get the sounder, right? Because we're on day three. I haven't been able to get my iPad doesn't work with, there's an internet issue. I don't have to explain that to anybody that works here. Yeah, eight months. Wow.
Wait, by the way, Monday, Stefania couldn't figure out how to figure out an iPhone.
That
is true.
New iPhone.
That is actually a true story.
She was so stoked about getting a new iPhone and then was also like, but I don't know how to use it at all.
I don't understand how Face ID works. Stefania, you take your finger, you wag it in front of it eight times. Yeah, how it works. It's Face ID.
I still think we need to do an investigation into that Princeton degree.
I agree with you.
I don't know.
She went to Princeton, in Michigan. It's like a tiny college.
Exactly.
It's like an enrollment of 400 people.
Right, exactly.
Princeton, Michigan.
Right, exactly.
Is there a Princeton in Michigan?
Probably is. In the Upper Peninsula.
Like
it's probably in the Upper Peninsula.
Right.
All right, let's get to Double Trouble. We don't need to play the sounder again. We can start with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
And usually we go through this by position. We start with the quarterback. Let's start with Ben Roethlisberger, who's an interesting one for fantasy this year, Matthew, because I think in a vacuum on the whole. No, but here's the reason why.
Okay.
I think if at the end of the year, Ben could have a semi-respectable number of overall fantasy points as an average, could look pretty decent. And yet, I think what's clear is that the game hasn't passed him by per se, but the fantasy game has passed him by. He's a complete zero with his legs, and you're probably relying upon some shifts from where things were last year, which at the age of, 38, you don't expect, what's the old saying? You can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? That I think
Did you have to look right at me when you said that? But yes, you're right.
Ben had 33 passing touchdowns last year. That's a very respectable number of passing touchdowns. But I'm saying it's solid, right? But no one, I think, is preparing to go into the season with Ben as their preferred target at quarterback. Fair enough?
1,000%. I mean, I think the way you phrase it is is Ben going to be a solid enough quarterback? Yeah, probably. Will he be good enough for the players that you care about, Deontay Johnson's, Chase Claypool's, Najee Harris, et cetera, Juju Smith-Schuster? Yes, all those things, correct. But there's literally no upside. There's only downside with Ben, right? The odds of Ben being a drop back passer and throwing 45 touchdowns and, you know, close to 5,000 yards, which is what he would need to break into like the top 10 or 12, given the rushing ability of all the other quarterbacks that are out there in the NFL and in fantasy, is very slim, right? Yep. Especially because, by the way, they've added Najee Harris. Last year, they had to throw because they couldn't run the ball. The expectation this year is that Harris gets a big workload. The other concern with Ben Roethlisberger is not only is there not any upside, but there's downside. Here's a guy who has played all 16 games once, literally one time in the past six seasons. He did play 15 games last year, but he's played all 16 once in the past six seasons. So there's concern about injuries, obviously, with Ben. Last year, he had eight different games as QB 17 or worse. Like, there are weeks where Ben can just absolutely kill you. And there's the idea that Ben's going to win you a week the way that other quarterbacks potentially could, I think is hard to imagine, especially because where he's going, Ben Roethlisberger's current ADP is, I mean, I'm at QB 23.
Yeah, I think it's undrafted.
It's undrafted. He's, I'm like, people aren't even drafting. So like towards the end of there, like you'd much rather take a flyer on a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance or, you know, honestly, like Baker Mayfield's going in that range. Like I'm much higher on Baker Mayfield. Fitzy. Yep. Like there's a lot of guys that I think have legit upside that Ben doesn't have.
So I think where Ben fits in is more about what it means for the wide receiver. So we'll get to in just a moment. Before we do that, let's get to Najee Harris, who I don't know why, and I could be wrong, but it feels like every year there's like one rookie that without doubt is going to be drafted extremely high in fantasy. And you're like, this guy is the one, even though there's plenty of evidence suggesting that A, there will be more than one rookie that makes an impact, and B, the one that we assume will be the impact rookie isn't always the impact rookie. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'm looking at you last year. But the stars have aligned for a significant role for Najee Harris in a few ways. Incredibly talented guy. He was the first running back off the board for a reason. Second of all, the Pittsburgh Steelers depth chart behind him is relatively slim. They've got guys like Benny Snell and Jalen Samuels, but if they wanted either
Kalen
of those
Ballage.
Guys,
Kalen Ballage, the Ballage Mirage is over there. Yep.
I don't know that any of those guys should be expected to have any workload other than occasional spelling of duties / special teams value, right? So pretty clear he's the number one guy. The Steelers made no mystery about that. They have talked all offseason with the new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, but wanting to run the football better and more effectively and more frequently. However, there's one thing that bothers me about Najee Harris, Matthew. I guess there's, one thing. There's only one thing that kind of concerns me.
Okay, what do you got?
Putrid offensive line last year.
Yeah.
And it probably got worse this offseason. Pittsburgh believes it got better, but they lost two starters on the left side of the line, their center as well. Alejandro Villanueva is now a Raven. David DeCastro got cut, unsigned, maybe will retire. Mike Pouncey, he retired. This is the changing of the guard right now along the offensive line in Pittsburgh. Is that a cause for the concern, or has that been baked into the fact that Najee Harris right now is being drafted as RB12?
See, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's definitely like a little bit of an eyebrow raise, but I think that if they had a great offensive line, if he was coming right on the heels of like 2 years ago, replacing Le'Veon Bell kind of thing, you know, a couple years ago, he goes like top five or six. So I think it's baked in a little bit into his ADP in terms of where he's going. I also think that it might be a little bit overblown. Make no mistake, offensive line is very important, right? Especially given the division they play in. But I think that volume can sometimes mask that. Mm-hmm. So Najee Harris may not win any efficiency awards.
I agree with you, by the way.
You know
hugely
what I mean?
On this, yeah.
Yeah, but he's going to get massive volume. I remember Saquon Barkley's rookie year.
That was just what I was going to say.
And everyone was just like, but the Giants' offensive line is putrid.
Right.
And we were like, yes, but the Giants need him to work. And Saquon Barkley is going to get so much volume that it doesn't matter. And that's ended up what happening. Obviously, Saquon Barkley had an incredible rookie year fantasy football-wise and NFL-wise, of course, as well. So my expectation here is that Harris, who's a really nice pass catcher, we saw it at Alabama.
Totally. Yeah.
He's going to be on the field for all three downs. And it's a good offense. I think when you think about the pass catchers in Pittsburgh, Juju and Claypool and Deontay Johnson and Eric Ebron and James Washington can take the – you know, can fly down the field. Like, he's going to see a lot of like six man boxes just because you've got to respect the passing game.
Yeah, he'll have good looks. He'll get his touches in the passing game too. And the closing thought for me is just that despite what's happened over the past couple of years, I believe Mike Tomlin's DNA is to have a workhorse running back. We saw it with Le'Veon Bell. We saw it for James Conner after he took over for Le'Veon Bell. I think that's how organizationally they want to build their backfield. So I expect this to be easily the busiest rookie in fantasy football this year.
No question about it. I think he is by far the safest rookie running back. You never know what's going to happen until you play the games, but as we sit here today, to me, he's the guy with the safest role and the safest floor of any rookie. By the way, Josh Jacobs, same thing. People said, oh, the Raiders' offensive line is brutal. And we're like, Josh Jacobs is going to get a ton of work. Right. Josh Jacobs, by the way, had a really good rookie year fantasy-wise.
He did. This, to me, is much more Josh Jacobs than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, at least as far as the rookie season goes. Three wide receivers to talk about, and we'll get there in just a second. But first, from our friends over at Geico, do you own or rent your home? Well, the answer is, I'm sure you do one of the two. And I bet it can be hard work. Actually, I know it is. But you know it's easy bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Phil, do you want to get in shape, but you're having trouble staying motivated?
Absolutely. Any ideas?
Well, you got to make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit.
Okay.
Listen, we all know sometimes you don't want to go to the gym, but take a 5-hour energy shot and it'll give you the feeling and alertness that you need so you can get there to get them gains, Phil. With zero sugar and convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-Hour Energy website has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach, mango, and more. Literally flavors for everybody. You can try them all, and this is pretty cool. On the site, you have the option to build your own 24-pack or 12-pack. Excuse me. You can choose the flavors you want, and it's delivered right to your door. If you go to 5hourenergy.com, that's the number 5hourenergy.com, and get some 5-Hour Energy product today. Use our promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today. Use the promo code FFF. And a real quick note from my friend Kurt. There is, in fact, a Princeton, Michigan. It is up in the Upper Peninsula next to Ishpeming, which is actually where my 85-year-old neighbor's from.
How about that? If you Google that town, you'll notice that notable residents and alumni include
Stefania Bell.
This whole Princeton Tigers, New Jersey thing, not buying it even a bit. All right, let's get into the three wide receivers.
Do me a favor, Secret Squirrel. Send a note over to the team at E60.
Yep.
I think we need to do an investigative
report. Jeremy Schapp's on the case.
I like it.
Jeremy Schapp is getting a little prop plane to where's that town?
Don Van Natta. Come on, let's go. Let's start digging.
Chance digging a little deep. Great here. All right, let's talk about the Steelers wide receiver. I'm just retweeting the live stream back onto the Twitter. So join us if you'd like. Have some fun here talking about the Steelers wide receivers. Three wide receivers who matter in this offense, Matthew. None more so than Diontae Johnson, at least in my opinion, and yours, because our rankings reflect as much. You've got him at wide receiver 17. I've got him at wide receiver 18. Daniel, wide receiver 15. Interesting player. 144 targets last year for Diontae Johnson. Do the math. That's about nine per game. Very good number for a guy who plays in an offense that threw the ball, at least the quarterback, did 608 times last year. But the limiting factors on Diontae Johnson last season were that there was very little big play upside for him. Heck, the entire offense, other than Chase Claypool, that was the case, as we were discussing with Ben Roethlisberger. Do you have any confidence that there will be more explosive plays this year? And if not, does it matter for Diontae Johnson, or is the volume just so substantial that he's wide receiver 15, 16, 17, and kind of just like safely and appropriately ranked?
Yeah, listen, I think both. You know, my point is like, I'm not sure that it matters because of the volume and because, you know, we're ranking for PPR scoring. And so I think because of the volume, and by the way, a talented player, like just forget
really
fantasy
player.
Or whatever, like very good player. I think he got, you know, listen, he had some bad drops in some big moments on nationally televised games that sort of amplified the thought about him in some people's minds. But like, he's a very good player. I'm not worried about the drops or anything like that.
Yeah,
and I don't believe the Steelers are.
Yeah. Well, you might be. I mean, he led the NFL. He had four more drops than anybody else last year. So I would say that it's not enough to nuke his fantasy value, but I'd like to see him get better.
Well, yeah, of course. But it wasn't something that had happened the year before. Like it was, it felt like just a kind of a one-year sort of thing.
Right.
So
my expectation is that I don't think he needs the big plays to be, you know, a fantasy viable guy in the range where he's going. He's currently going as wide receiver 20, so we all have him ranked higher than where he's going at ADP, but he's going, you know, kind of in the 6-7 turn range. DJ Moore, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, all sort of possession type. Possession is, I'm using it, but, you know.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like,
not Tyreek Hill.
Right, exactly. Not Tyreek Hill. You know, Godwin has a little bit of that in him, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, so I don't think he needs it, but I also do think that there's a potential that this offense gets better again because it's more well-rounded. They know what they have in Chase Claypool. There's more weapons here. They're going to have a more balanced offense as well. And so Ben showed up to camp looking thin and fit, yeah. You know? Like, so I think there is potentially some upside for Deontay Johnson, but I don't think he needs it to return value in terms of where he's going.
I'm looking at his game log right here, and he had 10 plus games with at least double digit targets.
Yeah,
but he had four games where he had less than four targets. Do you remember if that's like poor quarterback play? Was that bad? I'm trying to think back to the situation to understand why I feel like, because to see him have 12, 13, 16, 11, 10, 3, 15, 2, 13, 10. I'm trying to remember.
Surprising. I don't remember anything specifically.
The only thing I can think of off the top of my head, and Thirsty Kyle, I'm sure, is on it already looking this up, but remember the Steelers, I feel like, among any team in the NFL last year, had the weirdest schedule. Like, I felt like they were more impacted by
Wednesday
COVID.
Games.
They had a Wednesday afternoon game.
That's fair.
It got pushed. They're playing the rape. Like, it just, I felt like their schedule got messed with more than any other NFL team last year because of COVID and the pandemic. And so I think that could be some of it. My guess is one of those games where he had low target share was the Chase Claypool went crazy game.
Yeah,
that
makes
Chase
sense.
Claypool had that four touchdown game.
Course,
yep. And so traditionally, Deontay Johnson, when he's been on the field with Ben Roethlisberger, has been, you know, a target monster.
Yes.
Yeah. It sort of just because I think there's been some narratives this offseason. Could he be a breakthrough wide receiver?
Yeah.
And if I felt confident about more big plays, I'd feel like there was the chance to finish as a top 10 player at the position. But because I'm not convinced there's going to be many more big plays, and because there still are two other notable wide receivers, I think he's kind of comfortably in that low end wide receiver 2 range.
The question is, I'm curious, and I don't have an answer to this. To me, it's a little bit about Ben. Because last year, Ben became a different quarterback. Yeah. Much more of a dink and dunk guy than he has been previous in his career. And do we think that was a result of he's getting older, the arm strength wasn't there, or is it just like
that
sort of taken
line too, right?
Right in the offensive line, back, or was he just sort of taking what the defense was giving him? Like they were protecting against the deep ball, so he's like, all right, I'm just going to dump it underneath, usually to Juju Smith-Schuster.
Not cool. Keith notes via text that Deontay Johnson left a couple of games early due to injury, which could contribute to those low target count. All right, let's go to Juju.
Right. Not cool. Keith is.
Johnny on the spot. Interestingly enough, you and I have a reversal of the two next Steeler wide receivers. You've got Juju Smith-Schuster ranked ahead of Chase Claypool. I have it in the reverse order. If you had told me that Juju averaged nearly 15 fantasy points per game last year, I would have told you there's no way.
Right.
Because it felt so underwhelming. Yeah. What you have to remember, though, is that the volume was substantial for Juju. The problem is he was like a running back in terms of yards per catch. I think he averaged like 8.9 yards per catch last year. Everything was at or near the line of scrimmage for Juju, which is a change of where he was or from where he was when he won the team MVP award back in 2018. Something changed in Juju's game. Clearly the NFL sees a different player than we thought we were going to see a few years ago. He signed a one-year deal worth up to $8 million with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's not like he turned down, you know, $12 million per year in a multi-year contract. It sounded like every other deal he was offered was also for one year and had like a little bit more upside, but not substantially more upside. So my question to you is, again, is this like what Juju is now? Is he just like just a slot receiver? Is he just a 8 to 10 yard per catch at best wideout?
Yeah, I mean, it really weird because, you know, we did some stuff about him on the fantasy show last year.
Yeah.
Show on ESPN Plus, by the way, coming back next week.
Woohoo.
And, you know, they basically turned him into, I mean, they who's the guy that, I mean, they, who's the, oh, Ryan Switzer. I was trying to remember who was like the slot receiver. They basically turned him into Ryan Switzer. And where he was right, they turned this guy that was this explosive player that, you know, after Antonio Brown left the Steelers, people were drafting like fifth or sixth overall in terms of wide receiver, like that we thought was going to explode. And they turned him into like this, this weird possession receiver
who it was very strange.
Had a very, you know, a very small average depth of target. But here's the thing on Juju. He's 24 years old.
It's like, ridiculous.
I mean, that's the thing. He's still insanely young. He's 24 years old. And this is a guy a year ago was being drafted as wide receiver 12. He was going in the, you know, in the top 20 overall on ESPN. And so now his current ADP is wide receiver 27. I'm at 31. I'm the highest among all of us, but we all have him as kind of a wide receiver 4. But like, wide receiver 4 with upside. Like, I think my point is, I think now the concern on Juju has been baked into the ADP. Mm. And so in terms of where he's going, like the volume's going to be, I think there's a nice floor for Juju and there's also some upside as well.
So the reason why I have them flipped is because when we're talking wide receiver 4s, we're talking about players that at least to begin the season or you're not planning on starting. And would you agree that the upside of Chase Claypool is larger than Juju's upside?
I would not.
Interesting.
I mean, look, do I think that could be the case? Of course. It's certainly within the range of outcomes. Chase Claypool's an exciting player.
Yeah, it's really talented. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, we've seen Juju Smith-Schuster be a fantasy superstar. We didn't see it last year. Right. I get it. But, like, you can't tell me. I'm not ready to, I guess, close the book on Juju Smith-Schuster being anything other than just, like, kind of a boring possession receiver.
Yeah.
He could be. But again, Juju's on a prove-it one-year deal. And to your point, he had a lot of kind of options for prove-it one-year deals, and Juju decided to come back and play in the system he knows with the quarterback he knows.
Right.
And I know there's a new offense coordinator, and they're going to change it some, but like...
But not wholesale.
Right.
This is not, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I see it differently then. When I see Chase Claypool, I see a player who, as we're talking about how the Steelers' offensive passing game was basically death by 1,000 paper cuts, except for when he was catching the ball. When it was vertical shots and it was big plays and it was reverses that he's turning into an exciting touchdown run, he was electric and he had the incredible streak last year where he just kept scoring and scoring and scoring. Worth noting that of his receiving touchdowns last year, he had 9 total. 5 of them came in 2 games. So it wasn't the most consistent, but the upside was there. And so this, to me, is the proverbial second-year jump. We talk about this frequently. NFL players often experience their biggest jump from the rookie to second season, especially when you can actually have an offseason in a training camp that's more normal, like Chase Claypool has this year. So I have him ahead of Juju Smith-Schuster as a result of that. I don't think there's like an indefensible case either way. I think that both of them
Both have tremendous upside. I'm sorry. I don't know that Juju has tremendous upside, but I guess I just didn't want to agree to the idea that Chase Claypool definitely has more upside. My concern with Chase Claypool isn't the talent. It's volume and consistency, to your point. Mm. Like, again, Chase Claypool, 20%, literally 20% of his fantasy points last year came from that one game, that Week 5 game against the Eagles where he scored 4 touchdowns. Like, he'll have a couple of blow-up games. It's just like, well, when are those coming? Mm. If Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster are healthy, along with Najee Harris, like, when are we going to be able to predict, oh, this is a Chase Claypool game? Yeah. And I just don't know you're going to have that. Juju's going to have a floor every week. Deontay Johnson, because of the target share, is going to have a floor every week. And then you've got Najee Harris, who's obviously going to touch the ball, we think, 20 times a game.
Yeah.
That's my concern with Chase Claypool. Love him in Dynasty. Love him in best ball. Just, that's a guy that, and definitely has upside, but I have him ranked 3rd among the Steelers wide receivers for that reason, because I'm worried about knowing, candidly, when to start him.
Yep, I feel you. I flip it on that one. I just think for a wide receiver 4, I'm chasing what I believe has more upside. Let's wrap things up with the Steelers quickly, I guess.
Quick. Yeah, there's no reason to talk about
Eric
this, right?
Ebron, tight end 24 in your rankings, Matthew. You actually are lowest on him. I've got him at tight end 19. I know he's been a thorn in your side in previous years. Eric Ebron's very good in the red zone. He's probably 4th at best in line for targets in this offense. He fits into this, we talk about this a lot, large pool of tight ends that kind of all are the same. That's where he is.
Right, and of the guys that are going in that range, as we talk about it, like, I'd much rather the Cole Kmets, the Anthony Firksers, the Adam Trotmans of the world, the guys that have upside. I don't think there's any upside to Eric Ebron.
Right, yeah, that 13 touchdown season will never be forgotten, even if it feels like many, many years ago. We're going to talk about the Ravens in just a minute, but I'm excited to tell you about this one, a new presenting sponsor. I guess not a presenting sponsor, but a new sponsor for the Fantasy Focus. Oars and Alps.
Maybe Oars and Alps would be interested in presenting the scrolling by the Fantasy Focus while looking for other podcasts that you like.
Well, this one's cool because I know this. Like, this is a brand that I know. Skincare is a big part of what they do. And so I'm an advocate. I'm in favor of Oars and Alps before they join the Fantasy Focus. Even more reason to be cheering for them going forward. For those of you that may know, DeAndre Hopkins elevates his game on the field. That's why he's top fantasy football choice this year. But off the field, he elevates his skincare game with Oars and Alps. Oars and Alps is a premium men's skincare brand that provides powerful, naturally derived skincare with real results. Oars and Alps products are carefully formulated to support an active lifestyle and is the preferred choice for top athletes like all-pro wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. As a team who believes in self-care and has a regular skincare routine, Fantasy Focus has been a fan of Oars and Alps for a while, and not just because they provide high-quality skincare products that are perfect for on-the-go lifestyle, but also because of what they stand for. Oars and Alps has been working on their SPF formula for 4 years to bring the best possible SPF line that they could make. It's free of harsh chemicals, easy to use, and specifically designed for those that are active. I love it. Right now, ESPN Fantasy Focus football listeners can receive a free hydrating antioxidant SPF 50 spray, which was named Men's Health Best Sunscreen of 2021 when you buy two of Oars and Alps' best-selling products. All you need to do is visit oarsandalps.com/fantasyfootball and follow the instructions. I got a pretty electric IG as well if you want to follow a cool account.
Phil, I know it says for those that are active, but I think Oars and Alps would even work for a guy like Matthew who is inactive. I just want to say it is not, you know, specifically only for active people.
Loose interpretation of active. Matthew is here today, so
it's
active.
Pretty active for him.
I was able to walk from my car to the studio.
That's no golf cart today
much.
For him.
Yeah.
Real proud of you for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, did you know
only
that more
needed
than...
the cane? Didn't need the
walker?
The walker with the
tennis balls
on the bottom. I didn't need that. Yeah, just the one cane.
I love it.
It was good. I'll throw some Oars and Alps on me. Someone get me a sample there.
Did you know that more than 50 million men suffer from male pattern baldness?
50 million!
Why are you looking at me? Why is everyone always looking at me?
2 out of 3 men will experience some form of hair loss by the age of 35. Someone on our fantasy show actually thought Matthew was under the age of 30. True story, I am not lying.
That is 1,000% true.
That is actually true. Someone thought Matthew, what, were you 28 years old?
Yeah, shout out to Tatiana.
Shout out to Tatiana.
PA extraordinaire on the fantasy show.
Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months, so that way you don't have to leave your home. Plus, you get low-cost treatments starting at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions. There's also discreet packaging and proven results. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. And listen, prevention is key when you're talking about this. Treatments can take up to 4 to 6 months to see results, so make sure you act fast. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/FFF to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/FFF to get your first month free. keeps.com/FFF.
All right, we're back on the Fantasy Focus. They said prevent hair loss, so just...
I'm too late.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's not too late. Matthew, it is not too late. I'll tell you what.
I mean,
I'll talk
you know
to
what?
Them.
Because I'm balding.
Yeah.
Because I've got that ing there. I'm not bald yet. I am balding. I think the ing's very important because you can see, like, I've still got...
It's hanging
like, listen,
on strong.
Like, it's like, yeah, listen, up here, it's like it's fighting a losing battle, right? You know, like...
it's like that last tree in winter that's just not ready to let
really
go
is.
Of its leaves.
It's like this, a couple of leaves hanging on desperately. You know, but on the side, I still got some hair, so ing.
Plus, the salt and pepper looks good on you. I just got to be honest. I think some people just look good salt and pepper. I think you're one of them.
I know. I think about the best, like, you know, George Clooney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's the guy from the Most Interesting Man in the World?
Oh yeah, the
Dos Equis guy,
Matthew.
Right.
Those are the ones that come to mind.
Clooney, Dos Equis guy, and me.
Matthew.
Yeah, that's pretty much usually when people say like you know, who are the most attractive salt and pepper guys out there? It's usually the three of us.
Those three.
It's usually, yeah, I don't know who fourth is.
Back in the day? Were you a fan of salt and pepper back in the day?
Salt and pepper. Sure, of course. Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think of a salt and pepper song, but.
Push It?
Push It. Yeah, Push
That's
It.
That's the
yeah.
only one that I know.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's a great song.
It is a great song. What was the name of their DJ? Salt and Pepper had a DJ. What was her name?
Her name was Garlic Paprika. Salt. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, pretty good, though.
And I was just trying to think. Thing. Did you say Paprika?
Paprika,
yeah.
Yeah,
I love it. I love
it's
it.
Not, I forget what it is.
But it's, you don't even know.
No.
You're the worst trivia guy ever.
What?
I know. You were totally hoping one of us would be like, oh, yeah, her name's like, you know.
It's one of those. It's one of those when I hear
he was
it,
just hoping
it.
One of us DJ knew what Sam. It was. And then he could have pretended he knew what it was all along.
Because it's one of those that, like, as soon as I hear it, I'll know it.
Spinderella?
Spinderella!
Yeah, PG. PG came up with that.
Why isn't Sage like PG knew it? That's right. It's Spinderella. I knew that.
How about all right?
Salt and Pepper with Spinderella.
Let's spin this forward wow. towards the Baltimore.
Hey, by the way, not cool. Keith also had it on the text.
Knew.
By the
of
way.
Course,
Keith knows everything. Keith does, and Matt Harrington know everything.
It's
kindred
unbelievable.
Spirit. Yeah, it's crazy.
Not cool. Keith has an insane fountain.
He really does
of He's knowledge.
Best partner in beer bar trivia ever.
He's unbelievable.
All right, let's talk about the Ravens.
It's crazy.
So Lamar Jackson,
yes, sir.
Coming into last season, remember this is what we told people. We said, hey, do us a favor. Don't make the same mistake that millions of others have made before. Don't draft a quarterback early.
Right.
And you know what happens when you draft a quarterback early? Like
what
Lamar
happens?
Jackson, you have 11 weeks of frustration where you want to pull your hair out. You're thinking to yourself, why did I draft this guy early? Because for 11 weeks, Lamar Jackson was quarterback 10, averaged fewer than 20 fantasy points per game.
Hey, in the 16-team War Room League that we played in last year, you and Matt Harrington, who was your quarterback last year?
I think we had Peyton Manning, but I can't.
No, I don't believe that was the case.
Oh. Josh Johnson?
Nope.
David Blau.
I believe Lamar Jackson.
Oh, Lamar Jackson, yeah.
Was
well,
the quarterback of the Irish Twins.
Probably would
so
have
you know
been
this,
better suited to
yes.
draft Peyton Manning is what you're
yeah.
trying to tell me.
So,
congrats, Peyton,
yeah.
in your
so
Hall
you know,
of Fame.
I remember that the look on your face every Monday morning, the frustration. It was a tough year for the Irish Twins last year in the league, and you guys drafted a really good team. I think if you'd gotten the production out of Lamar Jackson that you expected
– right.
That team would have been a contender.
We need to capitalize on better fortunes this year. But
But that's my point was that there was a guy that was clear. That was the argument going into last year was him or Mahomes as QB1. Right. And a lot of people drafted him one or two, but he went early in a lot of drafts and he disappointed fantasy wise.
He sure did. Now, he was great down the stretch. Weeks 12 through 17, he was by far the best quarterback in fantasy, averaging over 27 fantasy points per game. This underscores the same point that we've made a million times before, though, is that in order for him to be worth the premium, whether it's middle of the second round, like which is where currently Patrick Mahomes is going as QB1 in terms of ADP, or even the late part of the second round, early in the third round, he has to deliver a quarterback point per game output that is significantly better than the next best quarterback in fantasy this year, which with all the talent that we have, Mahomes and Josh Allen and Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson himself. And if Deshaun Watson plays, we understand that's a unclear situation.
And Russell Wilson.
And Russell Wilson and all the Aaron Rodgers. It just is incredibly unlikely to happen. So is he still a tier one fantasy quarterback? To me, it's no doubt.
Yes.
It's not even a question. It's just about where you're drafting him. And I'm not going to be the person that ever pays up for any of those quarterbacks in the back end of the second round or early part of the third round.
Last year was a brutal year for Lamar Jackson, to your point, and he certainly didn't return value given where he was drafted. But at the end of the day, he still finished his QB8, still
he's
averaged
fine.
22 fantasy points per game. He was fine. So there's a floor there with Lamar Jackson. Now, Marquise Brown is dealing with an injury again, but they tried to address their wide receiver position at least somewhat this year, right? Mm-hmm. They drafted Rashad Bateman, who we have high hopes for. They signed Sammy Watkins. And when Sammy Watkins is on the, like, Sammy Watkins is a talented NFL wide receiver. He needs to stay on the field, obviously. But, yep. like, they at least added some depth, you know, that they didn't have before. And hopefully Marquise Brown is back and they have Mark Andrews. And obviously the rushing is the big piece of the pie for Lamar Jackson,
right.
who, you know, since the beginning of 2019, there's only four players in the NFL with more games of 65 or more rushing yards. Like, you look at the list of the top five players of games with 65 or more rushing yards since the start of 2019, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook,
Lamar Jackson.
Right. He's the best running quarterback literally in NFL history. So that's why he remains
he's a video game.
Firmly entrenched as a tier one quarterback. Just don't pay the price for any quarterback that some are willing to pay by making him a top 15 or 18 or 20 pick overall.
He's currently going as QB6, and so I think the disappointment of last year is sort of baked into him now, and so he's going basically right around Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson, and I can make an argument for any three of those guys. Like, I'm good with any of those guys. And it's another reason why, listen, do we all love Patrick Mahomes? Of course we do. But if you're telling me, like, a few rounds later, I could get my choice of Dak, Russ, or Lamar, bingo, bango.
Patience is a virtue. I want to get to one of the more interesting players.
I was hoping to work in a bingo bango today, and I did that.
And you did it.
Pretty much accomplished.
Thank you very much.
I think one of the more interesting players in fantasy this year is J.K. Dobbins. Mm-hmm. Dobbins finished last year as running back 29 on a points per game basis, 11.2 fantasy points per game. Friend of the program, Daniel Jeremiah at Move the Sticks on Twitter, is doing his camp tour.
Yeah.
And he left Baltimore camp yesterday, the day before, and one of his prevailing thoughts was draft J.K. Dobbins and thank him later.
Yeah.
Fantasy.
It was something like I retweeted his tweet too. It was something like, yeah, buy all the shares of J.K. Dobbins, right?
So,
you know,
he's bullish on J.K. Dobbins, and Daniel's got outstanding eyes, great evaluator.
We're all fans of Daniel.
Yeah,
yep.
Of course.
He's great.
He being J.K. Dobbins, is in line to be the starting running back. Obviously, Mark Ingram is no longer with the team. He was released just after the season last year. All the signs from when you watch J.K. Dobbins on a carry-by-carry basis suggest he's got the chance to be a star. And here's the but. I've got him at running back 15, Matthew. I think I'm the highest or close to the highest amongst all of our rankers at ESPN. You and Daniel both have him at 20.
Yep.
There are a couple of buts, though, that I think are contextually important here. One, how many games last year do you believe J.K. Dobbins had over 15 carries?
My guess would be 3, maybe 4, if that.
0.
Yeah.
Didn't have over 15 carries once.
Right.
Second of all, you knew who had over 15 carries in a game last year?
Lamar Jackson. Edwards.
Both of you are correct. Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson's still there. He's going to be part of their running game, but I'm not concerned about that. I am not concerned, but mindful of Gus Edwards.
Sure.
Who the Ravens gave $10 million to this offseason. 2 years, $10 million.
They like Gus Edwards.
They love him. So I'm talking to both sides of my mouth.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a greater than non-zero chance that J.K. Dobbins could finish as like a top eight running back, right? Like 20%, 25%, 30% likely he finishes a top eight running back. I also think it's possible, but I don't think the floor is much lower than where I have him at 15. Like, I still think the floor for J.K. Dobbins is running back 20, which is why I didn't quite split the difference. I just hedged him a little bit closer to like that top eight spot.
So, first off, I love, with a capital L, J.K. Dobbins from a talent standpoint.
Yep.
He was my number one dynasty rookie pick last year, going into last year, you know, among running backs, right? He was by far, he was my first in the dynasty league we all play in. He was my first round pick when we did the rookie draft, whatever, 2 years ago. So love, love, love the talent. And it's obviously, there may be enough rushes to go around. The Ravens are once again expected to be the run heaviest team in the NFL. Last year, 53% of their yards came on the ground. Like, no other team was even at 45%, and 53% came on the ground from the Ravens. And what was a three-headed monster is now a two-headed monster because, to your point, Mark Ingram is now in Houston. And so, but, well, I guess three-headed monster because he's still got Lamar Jackson, who's going to get a lot of carries. Yep. So there's an opportunity there. I mean, remember, we saw what J.K. Dobbins could be over the second half of last year, week 11 on last year. He averaged 17 fantasy points per game. He was the ninth best running back in fantasy from week 11 on last year.
Yep.
The problem is, not only is there Gus Edwards and Lamar Jackson to take touches away, but he doesn't catch the ball. Now, there's reports out of camp.
Right.
Yeah, there's reports out of camp that they're working on getting him involved in the passing game and that he has that skill set. It wasn't something that he did a ton of in college. They didn't need him to. I mean, you know. But J.K. Dobbins had one catch in his final five regular season games. He only had two targets. You know, and I don't know if that's a product of the offense. if that's a product of the quarterback, if like when normally you would want to dump it off to a running back, it's easier for Lamar Jackson just to scramble for 15 yards,
right?
Yeah, totally. You know, when there's pressure coming in. So I don't know how much of that's a product of the offense versus the quarterback versus just the play calling and what they feel J.K. Dobbins can do. I have heard Greg Roman talk about the fact that that last year, shortened preseason, obviously COVID, you're doing stuff over Skype and everything like that and Zoom, so that like they just wanted to get a basic package in J.K. Dobbins' hands and see what they could, you know, get out of him. And now going into his second year, as we talked about earlier in the show, players always make the biggest jump from year one to year two, and so there's a chance to expand sort of the playbook for J.K. Dobbins. But to me, that's the big question. It's Gus Edwards, and are they going to use him in the passing game? So I'm at running back 20, not because of a lack of talent or belief in him, but I'm just concerned that he doesn't get enough passing game usage and that there's a threat at the goal line because both Gus Edwards and Lamar Jackson can easily keep it.
Totally fair. I think, though, that factoring in that he last year did not get that much of a workload, there was some Mark Ingram early in the season. He still finished as RB29, so pretty reasonable.
What do you got, Secret Squirrel? What
really
you got?
Quickly, before we move on to pass catchers, with all this talk about Gus Edwards and how he can take away value from J.K. Dobbins, he's still not a guy that is draftable. He's not a guy that we think is going to be, if you roster J.K. Dobbins, you need to make sure that you get Gus Edwards.
You want to talk about zero passing game?
I mean, right, exactly.
Yeah. That is, I mean, Gus Edwards has as much passing game usage as I do for the Ravens. I mean,
yeah.
He's 15 carries in a game at max.
He is north-south.
He's great for the Ravens from a football perspective, but from fantasy, all he's really doing is taking away value from J.K. Dobbins.
And listen, and the pro J.K. Dobbins argument is that if they are going to pass to a running back,
it has to be.
It's very likely that it's J.K. Dobbins and not, because Gus Edwards isn't going to be the guy, and they don't have any other running back on the team that immediately sort of screams third down back. They don't have a James White type. To the best of my knowledge, where with Giovanni Bernard, they don't have a guy like that. Where and they may still sign a veteran or something like that.
But Justice Hill would be their answer, but he didn't show a ton last year as a fourth round rookie.
No, Justice Hill, wasn't last year's second year for Justice Hill.
Maybe it was his second year.
Justice Hill just hasn't popped. He's been there for a couple of years, I feel like.
So you brought up a really important point that I think applies to the pass catchers, and I'm going to throw a little trivia at you. You talked about how. Is it the
Spinderella?
Yeah, that's correct. is it the passing game system, or is it perhaps the quarterback style of play that leads to the reduced number of throws to the running back? Lamar Jackson has been the starter for 37 games in Baltimore.
Okay.
How many wide receiver games do you think there have been of at least 20 fantasy points during his time as a starter?
I'm going to say, out of 37, I'm going to say 5, and that might be too high.
So 5 times where a wide receiver has scored at least 20 fantasy points.
Yeah, I know Marquise Brown had a couple of 2-touchdown games. I remember like Lamar Jackson's MVP season, like there were a couple of they were killing Miami. So I'm going to say 5.
4 is the answer. Think about that, though. 4. That's
pretty
outstanding.
Good.
That's pretty
good. Better than my salt and pepper answer.
That's true.
Right? Your non-answer.
Right.
Your answer
was
I waved the white flag.
Right.
That to me
over
is,
here. Right, give me credit. Give me grief on
the way you. The way you. He said garlic salt. So I'm not like. Come on.
He's the music guy too.
Yeah. That's
embarrassing.
Should know.
Probably. You know what the problem is? Everyone's heard of salt and pepper. Daniel only knows crappy bands one's ever heard of.
That's true.
Daniel's I don't know salt and pepper. I'm a big fan of Peppa and Salt, though.
Exactly.
Like, this New Mexico.
Exactly.
Anyways.
Yeah. I love you guys.
I think that the 4 times in which a wide receiver has scored at least 20 fantasy points in 37 starts is an alarming number to me, Matthew, because as we talk about these pass catchers, other than Mark Andrews, who we'll close with, Marquise Brown, Sammy Watkins, and Rashad Bateman. I want to, on principle, get excited about Rashad Bateman. He's one of my favorite players in this year's draft out of Minnesota, averaged over 20 yards a catch. I don't care that his 40 time doesn't stack up with the Henry Ruggs types of the world, right? The guy just has a way to get open and make big plays. He drew some comparisons, I thought, actually kind of fairly, to what we saw from Michael Thomas, or when we see Michael Thomas at his very best. I don't care what the numbers athletically tell you. He just chews up yards left and right.
Yeah.
The
40 time stuff gets, Jerry Rice had a terrible 40 time.
Yeah, it was like a 4.55 or something. It's like for a wide receiver, it's like you might as well be walking backwards.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice, the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Yeah, worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah.
So I know that we usually go bit by bit with these players, but I'm just going to ask you in general on these wide receivers. Is there any wide receiver that you think even merits redraft consideration for the Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, I do think Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman are worthy flyers.
Okay.
Because one of them could be the number one wide receiver on an offense that we think is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't want to go in the season with any of them as my starter.
Right.
Like, I have them, I rank Marquise Brown at 43. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I've got wide receiver, 49.
You've got him at 49. Daniel has him 42. Daniel loves him some Marquise Brown.
Yeah, I do.
Right, but wait, so I'm at 43.
Hollywood. Yeah.
He's a wide receiver 5 for me.
Yeah.
Because the other concern with Marquise Brown is, again, sort of like he's a big play guy, but in terms of consistency, it's going to be tough to know when are those blow-up games coming. Like, I want to see some consistency from Marquise Brown.
I want to believe in Rashad Bateman. So I'm putting this, I'm earmarking this, because I want to believe in him, and I want to believe that he can be the wide receiver that kind of breaks the mold, so to speak, for what we've seen from Baltimore with Lamar as the starter for nearly 3 seasons now. So I'm filing away. I'm having a hard time, though, differentiating him versus, as we talked about yesterday, that oversized bucket of late-round flyers amongst wide receivers. But if you told me, if like you pressed me, and or best ball, if you told me I had to take a Ravens wide receiver, it's probably still Bateman, despite the fact that he's not ranked and I've got Hollywood Brown at 49. But there's some work to do to prove to me that any wide receiver in this offense needs to be rostered right away.
Can I make this argument, though? Tell me if you buy this argument.
Yeah, I'm into it. Already, I'm buying it.
Could Rashad Bateman, one of the things we talked about on this very show a year ago, was we were talking about all the wide receivers, and Henry Ruggs has this first-round draft capital, and we talked about, you know, and CeeDee Lamb, obviously, just his talent jumps off the screen. But I remember you saying very clearly, like literally the podcast we did after the draft, that you thought Justin Jefferson had the best chance at fantasy success as a rookie, not only because of talent, but also because of landing spot, that he was taking over for Stephon Diggs in Minnesota, and that there was really only Adam Thielen there in terms of target share. Is there a chance that Rashad Bateman, because we all agree of the talent, right? Just like we all agreed on Justin Jefferson's talent last year. Yep. But then there's also landing spot.
Yeah.
Because in terms of, quote, competition for targets, you have Marquise Brown, who seems to be more of a home run threat at this point in his career and also has trouble staying on the field. And then you've got Mark Andrews. We just talked about the fact they don't throw the ball very much to their running backs. At least they didn't last year. Could Rashad Bateman be this year's Justin Jefferson? Is there a scenario where that's possible, given his skill set and the opportunity for targets, even though it's a run heavy offense?
Yeah, I think my answer is actually Jalen Waddle this year, who I know, like, that's not that spicy, given that he was the second wide receiver off the board.
Playing with his college quarterback.
But I do know what I get what you're saying here with Rashad Bateman, because the Ravens really need him to be excellent from the jump in order for them to be excellent and good enough to compete with where they want to be in the AFC hierarchy. Let's wrap things up here with Mark Andrews. You've got him at tight end 4. Dan's got him at tight end 4. I've got him at tight end 4. Matthew, he feels sort of safe to me, right?
Like,
he saw a target on 28.8% of his routes. When he runs routes, he's going to get targeted. He's a good player, good in the red zone, had some drop issues last year. That was, I thought, a little bit surprising. He had 5 drops in 2020. He had 4 in the 2 years prior to that. But just a good, solid player who plays a position where there's not very many of them.
Tied for 2nd among tight ends in terms of red zone targets last year. When they get in close, Lamar Jackson looks for him. There's nothing they did this offseason that makes me think they won't. We still think this is going to be a pretty good offense as well. There is a significant drop for me from the big 3, from you know, Kelce, Waller, Kittle, to Mark Andrews.
I agree. Yep.
But and so I think Mark Andrews is much more in that next tier of, it's Andrews, it's Hockenson, it's Kyle Pitts. It's like, that's that sort of next tier for me. But I do think he is the top of that next tier. I do prefer him to Kyle Pitts. I do prefer him to TJ Hockenson. Sorry, Daniel Dawson.
Yeah, I think that's a fair tier for him. Just a good solid player. Like, I think that if I miss out on those big 3, I'm going to be attacking that middle tier rather than waiting until like the 12 to 15 range for tight ends, where I could end up in the first 4 weeks shuffling the deck 3 times at tight end.
So he's current on ESPN, he's currently going in the late 5th round.
Yep.
So if you think about that, like, your first 4 rounds, you get 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers. If you want to take a quarterback, you could, but like, that's a pretty good start. You get 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, you get Andrews in the 5th, Kyle Pitts is also going in that range as well. And then in the sixth, you get a quarterback. And by the way, that's going to be a Russell Wilson, a Dak Prescott, a Lamar Jackson.
Kyler Murray, sure.
I don't know if Kyler gets there, but like, you know, also those Aaron Rodgers is in that range. Like, yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's a nice little start.
Sure is.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The way that you're thinking already. Good start to Double Trouble. Had a lot of fun with that one. And, of course, we do every single team during the preseason. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks for watching Fantasy Focus Football. We'll be back tomorrow with more Double Trouble. It's the Browns and the Bengals.
Peace out! Fantasy, you're in the 06010.